We are going. Here we go. And I'm actually going to hit the record on the video. Shista. Here we go. And it takes me a bit, but there she's kicking. She's kicking. Kicking strong. Rolling. Okay. All right. So what's up, everyone? How y'all doing out there? Whoever is listening to this at whatever time of day you listen to this. No, don't take it away. Okay, we are live. We are on the air. It is the NFL schedule has been released. It has been released. It is out there. There ain't no going back. We are going into the 2024 NFL season. So are you ready? Chiefs Kingdom, are you ready? Are you ready? You ready to get buck wild? Yeah. I think the Chiefs, we're going for that three-peat, baby. Three-peat. If anyone could do it, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Kelsey, you cannot go wrong with Travis Kelsey. Man, he's been good for so long. It's been ridiculous. All right. Let's pull up some stuff. I divulge way too much on this show. You know, I'm always hesitant. Like, do I really want to throw that out there? But I'm gonna, kinks just got put in the way and I could not get rolling as soon as I wanted to tonight, but I fought through, powered through, you know, I strong armed it, you know, somehow we made it. I always think to myself, like, I'm always 30 minutes behind for some reason. You know, if I want to be somewhere, I need to plan on being there 30 minutes before I want to be there, because that's when I'll actually be there. And the times when I want to get there on time, and when I'm actually on time and I'm about to make it, I just hear that voice of Adrian from Rocky just saying, I just hear that voice of Adrian from Rocky saying, you're going to do it. What message did I just get? Cool. All right. So what's up? Let me pull some stuff up. Let's actually see what kind of schedule we got. I know we got the Ravens opening game. Since we won the Super Bowl, you know, as the champions we are, we get to start off the season on the bright lights, the spotlights. You know, we're going to be out there and we're just going to bring it home. A lot of times, I mean, I'm going to build it up because, I mean, there's been so many times where the Chiefs have just laid a dud at the beginning, right at the beginning of the season. It seems like I can't really recall exactly, but I think they lost the first game, opening game last year. And it's just that there's so much hype build up and then just things don't fall in line like that you want them to. And, it just doesn't happen the way that you expect. And they struggled out the gate, but then they got it together. And if we've learned anything from just the long seasons that professional athletes have to go through, it's the champions, the long-term playoff contenders, and that are going to be Hall of Fame worthy and that are going to just dominate in their field. It's the ones that do it in crunch time and they do it at the end of the season. The season is a long grind, so they got to pace themselves, you know? They got to pace themselves. That doesn't mean that you show up or don't show up a game, but it's a long season. And they can do it. All right. Now, there are more teams than just the Kansas City Chiefs, but all I know is Kansas City Chiefs. So is there another team besides them? But all right. Who do we got? What's happening? Try to do more. Let me learn how to multitask. For your benefit and my enjoyment. If you're watching this, because I will probably release this. Release the beast. I will probably release this. The video portion. I mean, it is simple just to do the audio, but you want to see this beautiful face, right? Okay. Too far there. This is not a beautiful face, but If you're just listening to this, you have no idea. I got a much better face for a radio than video. So, but you know, you do what you can with what you got. You do what you can with what you got. All right. So what is happening on? I mean, I had to restart and reboot my, I divulge way too much on here. I let you know in the nicks and crannies. I said the nicks and crannies, the nooks and crannies of what happens behind the scenes for me. I like am an open book for all you. So I had to like basically reboot my system like 50 times before actually things started working properly. I learned that you don't have the Rodecaster. I'm going to say it properly today. You don't have the Rodecaster Pro on, then restart your system because it just loses all connections. And I got that OCD where I need to restart it over and over because I want it to be clear and clean and perfectamundo, you know? And I want to do that, but it's like, I've learned that you can't do that with it on, with the Rodecaster Pro rolling. And what am I talking about? You don't want to be hearing about no Rodecaster Pro when the NFL season has been released. All right. I was just talking about this with somebody today, and he was saying, like, when we have made an event of every aspect of the NFL season, the NFL is... they are good at what they do. They know how to market that stuff and everything. It's not even just about let's get ready for the season and everything like that. It's every event. Now the release of the season is a monumental event, and everybody is just locked in and just NFL. They know what they're doing. That kind of brings me to my question. Is anyone out there? Excuse me. Let me actually, so you don't have to hear me. Is anyone out there watching the USFL or did XFL come back? I don't know. Like in the spring, I know there's been football seasons happening besides NFL, and I think it was USFL, and maybe XFL came back. I don't know. Is anyone out there? Are you all watching it? I remember when the XFL happened, like. More than a decade. It was like almost when I was in high school and when the XFL was happening. And I loved it. I actually got really into it, and it only like lasted a season and it was cool. But like, I have not got into it at all whatsoever in kind of this new edition that it's coming out the last couple years. But I think the XFL is happening. Correct me if I'm wrong. Fact checkers. Check me. But is the XFL happening and the USFL, you know, I mean, is anything ever going to like even, attempt to overtake the NFL? Is that even going to be a possibility? I don't see that ever happening. I think the NFL has got a foothold, but it is like it, I think the NFL, right now you can't really like say they need to do anything different because they are like completely dominating the market. And like it is probably the number one. It is like an event. They know how to put everything out there, so it is exciting, and so and every aspect of it, not just the NFL season, but throughout the entirety of the year. So they're good at what they do. But it's like it's always like wondering me, like there's only 32 teams, and they just play each other every year, and you know, like how can it be so exciting? But it is. It is so exciting each year that these teams. Like I just almost think that we need to. It might be, this is me thinking outside the box, you know, and being kind of just, the oddball that I am, but like, I don't know if you've listened or watched, football, as in European league for football, the soccer, as we Americans call it soccer, you know, but if you've watched the European league and what they do and with like, they do like kind of like, relegation, like it's basically any team out there can kind of work their way up, like just a no-name team can come on the map and kind of work their way up. I think that's pretty cool because it's like teams from just like very small cities that have no name whatsoever, have no funding, have no anything, but they can kind of work their way up to get up to the very top echelons and go against the the best teams in all of the European continent and all that jazz. But I just think that's pretty cool. I'm wondering if, I mean, the NFL, they're trying stuff. They're not trying stuff like baseball. Baseball is just kind of just getting, when they're, the rules they're implemented is just kind of nuts. But so, I mean, let me see if I can pull up what's happening in the, I might have to just stop talking for a second. I'm going to add some music eventually where it's like, you don't just have to look at this face and just wonder what's he doing, you know, just looking in, just peeking in. But let's see if I can actually see the room. Unready 3 liked the show. Oh, cool. Yeah. Someone liked the show. Cool. What's up? That's awesome. All right. I can't really see it. Things is, I know I divulge way too much. I show you behind the scenes, like, how the sausage is being made, you know, just cause I'm fairly new at all this, but, cool. And I'm just going to type something out there. What team? I'm just gonna put it out there. Who knows? I don't see, like, what's this? What has happened right here? I'm sorry. I'm just kind of learning these kind of. I don't even know what. I don't want. I'm not sophisticated enough to call them bells and whistle. I wonder what happens if I push this button. We've sent you an invite. Okay, I sent this. Who's this mystery guest? Who's this mystery guest? This mystery man or woman out there? You know? I've just always just seen, like, different social media platforms, and I know I advertise this about talking about the NFL, but man, I can't even pull up the schedule. Man, it's like I'm like Chris Farley in Black Sheep, man. I'm like, whenever I'm doing this kind of stuff and he's they're just like stoned out of their minds and because of the nitrous oxide, and he's just like, man, I couldn't even find the glove compartment right now. I am like that when I get on, like, just talking and trying to do stuff. I need stuff put in front of me because I cannot do multiple things at once, it seems, or I don't know, maybe I just get stage fright. Maybe I just lose all sense of awareness and I can't do more than one thing at once. I can't walk and chew gum, I guess. I don't know, man. Oh, I started talking. Okay. What team y'all got for the 2024 NFL season? Okay. Hey, can you hear me? Is anyone out there? I don't know.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hey, man, unless that's just an echo of myself. Hello?
It's Harlan. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. How's it going, man?
Good, man. I'm still trying to figure this damn thing out. That's why I was like, there's no picture or nothing. I can't figure it out.
Had you ever heard of this, of Podbean before?
No, I haven't. This is a new thing for me.
Oh, man. So, like, on your end, are you just calling on your phone? Is it just on speaker on your end? Or like on, yeah, just
from, I mean, it said you could use headphones and whatnot, but I had my daughter in my arms and I was doing all of it.
Oh my gosh.
So I was just kind of like, yeah. So the wife took the daughter down to the crib and I'm like, okay, maybe I can figure this out.
Oh, cool. Man, so I know you can't see me because I'm like, see, right on Podbean, at least I haven't figured out how to record myself video wise and be able to, like, go, I can, but I'm like recording myself separately. So I will post that eventually on YouTube or whatever it is. But, this is just so cool. How you doing, Harlan?
Busy, man. Busy as hell. I don't know what it's like to slow down.
Is that right?
Well,
man, I haven't talked to you forever.
High school. Two of them are juniors. One's a freshman. And then we just adopted a baby girl back in March that was born on the 28th.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know what it's like to slow.
Well, that's so cool, man. Well, congrats. That's amazing. You got your hands full, man. I don't know. Since you're hopped in, I'm actually just talking about the NFL. Did you have any? Are you an NFL fan? Can you still hear me? I don't know. My internet kind of gets kind of wacky. Wacky Madu. Hello?
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was saying, do you have, like, are you a fan of the NFL at all or not really? Or
Not so much. My older two boys are. And so I kind of just, whatever they have to spit out, I listen to it and pay attention to. And if they want to watch a game, we'll watch a game. But, I mean, I've gone a few times because I've gotten tickets and whatnot through my work and whatnot. But I've never been huge into football. I'm more into soccer. I started watching because Prime's got it on Friday nights, the Women's Soccer League.
Oh, yeah.
I've been watching that. That's what I've been watching.
Oh, cool. So is that kind of a new thing? Prime doing women's soccer?
Yeah, it's just started this season.
Really?
I have not. Anyways, I mean, I'm kind of behind on a lot of things, but when I saw they were putting, the first game I watched was KC, and we took the game in overtime.
Wow! So who is our team? What is our team's name? A soccer team.
Oh my lord, I have to look it up again,
because I know we got Sporting KC as the men's soccer, and is the new stadium, is it right there in like downtown? I just saw they're working on something, or is that where they play in Kansas City? Oh, hello, can you hear me? For some reason, it kind of, I don't know if it just gets disconnected, but I lose connection. I don't know.
I think.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I think it's just my phone.
It might be, I know my connection, it'll say right now it's saying excellent, but there will be a time or now and then that it'll say poor, but well, that's so cool, man. So your boys, they like NFL football?
They pay attention to it a lot more than I do.
Really?
And you're a football fan too. So I'm kind of the lone shark with my youngest son.
All right. So you said you went to, did you go to any games last year?
Yeah, we went, I got tickets through work. We went, what game did we go to? We went to one of the last games before the playoffs.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Do you remember who they played?
Behind the end zone. On the south side.
Oh, cool, man. That's awesome. Man, that was, they were just, I'm assuming they won, because I think they won pretty much almost every game going into the playoffs last year, right?
No, it was the Raiders game. That was the game we lost.
Oh, it was. Oh, shoot.
Because we left halfway through the game because it was just like, yeah, this is brutal.
Oh, gosh.
We just kind of like, man, I think we're done. It's time to go home.
That's more than I got to do. I haven't been to a game since they played the Packers like a few years ago when Patrick Mahomes was hurt.
Oh yeah, no, I remember that game.
Yeah, that was like the last game I went to, and like I got tickets before the season and everything, just so excited to go see him, and then he was hurt and I saw him on the sideline.
Well, I got lucky enough because I used to work at Kansas City Zoo there for a little while at the night security, and my old partner called me up and was like, hey, what are you doing on Monday night? And I go, well, that's Monday Night Raw, WWE. And he goes, you want to go?
Oh, my gosh.
Mahomes was there. We were like, and we were behind him, and we were behind him by about like 20 rows. I mean, like we could see him, but we got,
oh my gosh,
Mahomes was at Raw.
That's so awesome. Oh my gosh, man. That's so crazy. Was that, I mean, I didn't actually see it. Was the whole Raw, was it awesome? Was it everything you thought it would be?
You know, it's like I always grew up watching it on TV because it was like in our household, like we grew up watching Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, like the, and then, you know, into the Undertaker and Stone Cold, like the guys that were, that really brought it, you know, made it where it was a soap opera on a ring. And I didn't realize the ring was that small. Like when you go, it seems bigger when you're watching it on TV, but when you're there, it's a lot smaller than you think it is.
Is that right? I mean, I wouldn't even think like that, but that does make sense. It does look pretty tiny.
When you see it, it makes sense because all the people that are down there holding the signs up, like when you really look at it, you're like, okay, this makes sense why the ring's that small, but you just don't realize that it's that small.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's like a total mind blow. I just would not even ever thought about that, but yeah, I can imagine that now that you say that.
Oh yeah. And it was a total blast. It was like nostalgia. Cause there were just like, they had, which Paul brother is it? Logan Paul, the one that did wrestling.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I think it was Logan Paul.
Yeah. He showed up and of course nobody likes him anyways, but
is that right?
Well, I don't like him for certain reasons from when he was doing the stuff he when he started off to get popular with the whole, when he went to Japan and he went to the one forest out there that's like a big no-no because it's they call it in English, it's translates to like the suicide forest or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And they were out there and a guy had, they whether they knew it or not, had done the deed and they were messing with him. And you could tell at first they might not have realized what was going on, but then they kept going and they got kicked out and it was a big controversy on YouTube. Like you can't find that video anywhere. That it got reported and pulled down and he got in big trouble for that for a while.
Oh my gosh. Was that like years ago or is that like,
oh yeah,
is
that was back when he first started. That was when he was in the very beginning stages of his stuff. Like he had
really
just taken off in his channel. So that was, God, that was years ago.
Because I just knew Jake Paul, and then I did not realize that Logan Paul was so much, like, it seems like he's bigger. He's more popular than even Jake.
The only reason I even want to watch that Jake Paul Mike Tyson match is it's like, if he lands one punch, you're done, dude. I don't know what you're talking about, but okay. Yeah.
Is that an event you would, like, pay to see, or are you just kind of going to read about it in the newspaper, or would you want to?
I would watch the highlights the next day because I don't think it's going to be very long, and I would have felt like I wasted my money.
Really? Yeah.
Kind of like the Ronda Rousey 30-second fight.
Oh my gosh. Is that UFC or is that like boxing? I am terrible.
That was UFC.
UFC? Man, I've always been like, if I was going to watch something, I'd like to watch UFC, but I've always been squeamish. Like, I'm just like scared something's just going to pop and like just break on them. And I'm just like, I don't know. But like, I think it's just crazy the stuff they do and they're able to do. But so did you watch that fight though? For some reason, I think Oh yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you pretty strong there.
I think it's my phone. If it locks, like it does a screen lock, it cuts me off.
Oh, I can hear you a lot better now.
I think it's if my phone does a screen lock, it'll cut me off. I don't know why it does that, but that's just weird.
Well, man, that's awesome. I'm so glad you hopped in. So what do you got going on? Like, are you wanting to do some type of podcasting yourself and? Or what?
I've looked into it. It's something I always thought would just be fun to do, and
oh yeah,
just occupy time. Just kind of went through some personal stuff and kind of woke up and got myself back together and
oh yeah,
put through it all. And it's like, you know, I got to start doing stuff I want to do. And this was always something. It's like, if I could just find somebody that wanted to do it and have fun, because it's not something. I like bounce and stuff like this whole talking, you, me talking and stuff. I like the bouncing the ideas off. I like throwing stuff out there and just having a good time with it. And
oh yeah. Yeah.
By myself, I'd probably end up cutting myself short.
I mean, you got to have a little like back and forth. I think that just talking through things and just kind of voicing your opinion, and then sometimes hearing yourself speak and hearing your own thoughts and your own opinions come out. You kind of sometimes, or at least for me personally, me talking, I've found myself like refining what I believe and what my personal opinions are on things, because whenever I actually vocalize it, sometimes it sounds different in my head than it when it comes out of my mouth. I don't know if that's at all you've experienced that at all, but yeah.
Usually when I'm talking to friends and stuff like that, that's when I hear it and I'm like, man, that sounded very, very different than how it came out. That probably shouldn't have came out that way.
Well, man, so, that's awesome.
I get where you're coming from on that.
Yeah. So do you follow women's soccer? Do you follow men's soccer or?
I do. Not as hard. Like, I don't follow sports real hard. I just kind of, and it's mainly because like my older two boys are in marching band and lacrosse, and
oh,
then they work and they've got their lives, and I'm, because they're 17, they're juniors, getting ready to be seniors. Which now saying it again out loud, I hate yeah. It makes me feel old, because my youngest son is 15, uh-huh. And he's in archery and theater and whatnot. Like, these kids are on opposite ends of the spectrum, but I love every second of it, and I can't wait to see what this little girl does.
Yeah.
And it's just, we're marching band takes up, and they're in drumline, and it takes up so much time that it's like when Dune 2 came out in theaters.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah.
I just happened to be, you know, we had the baby here, and I'm on parental leave right now. And I'm like, I looked at my wife and I go, you know, my older two boys, their best friend, we're actually good friends with the family and themselves. And I'm like, I'm going to reach out and see if they want to go to the movie. I know, cause it's not my wife's thing, but I'm like, you know, do you care? And she's like, hell no, go. And so we went, and I had to carve time out to go see Dune 2, knowing it was going to be almost 3 hours. Like, so, you know, I'm going to be home for like 4 hours. I'm off limits. My phone will be silent. I'm only going to pick it up if somebody's dying.
But man, did you enjoy the movie?
Oh my God. I loved both movies. And I remember my dad got me into that. And he's not a big sci-fi guy at all, but Star Wars and Dune, those were the closest thing to sci-fi he's ever liked.
Is that right?
And he got me into those, and I read the book. I read at least the first book. And mm-hmm. so, and these first two movies, like, not to the T, but they followed a hell of a lot better than the 1980s movie did. And I love the 1980s movie, but that thing is, it's the 80s.
I've never seen that one. So, like, is that one, like, because I know the book was made like a long time ago, wasn't it? Like, it's a series. Old.
There's a book series. There's multiple.
Oh, is that books. Right?
Yeah. And oh, okay. They're really good, but they're very, like, if you took the kind of action Star Wars does, but you take the intellect of Star Trek, and like they had a baby.
Uh-huh.
that can really write. That's what these stories are. They're very in depth. There's a lot of information. So the fact they pulled off what they pulled off in the movie, in the newer movies, is amazing. And they miss a lot, but there's so much.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, I bet. Like, there's like, whenever you read a book and then go to the movie, like, I don't know if you're a person that likes to do that. Like, do you like to see the movie first or read the book first, or do you care one way or the other?
I don't care one way or the other, because I know I've got that mindset, and I've always had it, even when we were all younger, that they're not going to be the same. They're just not.
And oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was like the X-Men movies when they all came out. Like, I loved the first two, and then I turned around and sat down and watched X-Men 3, and my ex-wife worked at AMC when that came out, and we went to go see it, and after seeing it, I go, as an action movie, that's a great movie. As a comic book fan, I want to rip them all apart. So I just kind of, whenever I watch that one, I just go into action movie mode and I enjoy the hell out of it. So I just, I have that ability to switch my brain off.
Now, can you explain to me, what is that difference? Like, what is the comic book in you? Like, why would you want to tear it up? Like,
so like that X-Men 3, they're trying to, the stories they were trying to tell, those stories in the comic world are very in depth and they're very long and they're very good arcs. And there's certain things that go on. And when you try to cram like three of these arcs that go across 12 to 13 issues, which is almost even with the illustrations, almost the size of a regular, 100 page book. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of story there. There's a lot of detail there. And then you're trying to shove like four of those stories into an hour and a half movie. It doesn't work. It's too much going on. Like, less is more.
Yeah. And it's like, you can't cover it all. And like, and they're just like going to probably leave out some stuff because I mean, they can't fit it all in. And
oh yeah. And it's one of those things where it's like, I understand the movie universe is different than a comic universe and all that. And that's fine. But do one story at a time. Quit trying to tell three different stories that you need that whole movie to tell just one of them to do.
Like, spread it out a little bit more.
Yeah, it's like, you already know this is a franchise. Abuse it.
So you just got to kind of switch your mind and you got to have a mindset in going into it. Like, what am I actually going to be seeing? Am I watching an action movie, or is it going to be kind of faithful to the original rendering of the comic book? But
and it's it's not gonna be, but at the same time, because they can't all get on a spaceship, go into space and fly around and do all that. It's like, okay, no. But so like the main one of that X3 was the Phoenix and Gray coming back to life. Hey, Bugs, sorry, my daughter's in the room with Mama right at the moment.
Okay.
It's like there's that storyline is very in depth and very complicated and a lot goes on, and you're wanting to shove a mutant cure and politics and all these things in there together. And I'm like, you do know that whole Phoenix thing takes like, you could probably fill up two-hour movies to three 2-hour movies with just that storyline. And we're trying to shove it around.
Why would they want to try to like shove it all together? Like, I mean, like they could get more out of it and like get more movies out of it. Like, why would they even do that? I don't get that.
Yeah. And I have total respect for the guys that write these movies. Cause I mean, that's not easy. That's not an easy job. And you can tell that it's just like somebody was over their shoulder going, well, we want this, this, and this, and that's what we're paying you for, and you're going to do it. And then you could just tell that these guys are like, well, fine, I'm going to make it a crap movie because this ain't going to work. Nope, I'm going to show you why this doesn't work.
Like somebody just sabotaging it? Like, is that like they just, who knows what they're doing, Like people get burned, people get rifted, and they just go rogue, I guess. You never know in any kind of situation.
And I think it's kind of the same with sports too. It's just like, you wonder, why did you make that trade? Like, that guy's not a good fit. It's not going to work, but you did it anyways. Why the hell did you do that? And somebody would say, well, it was the money. We're paying more than we should pay for that guy. So it's like, you always wonder, who is making these decisions? It's like it's one of those things that just kind of goes across the board. Anybody can see it. You just got to go to something you relate to and you're going to understand that question. Why did we do that? That makes no sense.
Man, like all the stuff that's happening in like those high level offices and what the calls they're making. I mean, I'd love to be in the room, but yeah, like what is like, what drives them to make some of those calls? Yeah, it's like, it's insane, But I mean, I think it would be tough to do it. Like, but I think it would. They could learn a lot from it and what they're going through, and just kind of like maybe bounce it off of other people as opposed to just making a call that who knows how it's going to turn out. But yeah, the trades that people make, yeah, I think they just kind of almost go with the safe position and just what's expected, and then they just go with that and then let the chips fall where they may sometimes. I don't know.
But. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. It's like, I tell my wife all the time, I'll never make it to management. She's like, why? I go, I can't make those bad decisions. I mean, I can make those bad decisions. I just, like, consciously, I could not make those bad decisions.
And you couldn't live with yourself when you did it?
Yeah, no. There's no way I could say, yeah, no, let's fire that guy. Why? Because he makes more money. Yeah, we pay him accordingly. He's doing the job. We should fire Joe Schmo over there. All he did was pick up a bucket, and we pay him $20 an hour. Mike can we can give Mike $2 more an hour, and he can pick up that bucket because he ain't doing nothing. Why are we firing the guy that runs the computer system? Like, this makes no sense.
Man, like, you got enlightenment, man. You the way you think is that's cool, man. That's pretty cool. That's smart.
That's what happens when you have a set of twins at 20 years old.
Oh, so you got twins?
Yeah, my older two boys are twins.
Oh my gosh! So did you have twins in your family line, or like is that just?
I found out later on down the road we did.
Did you? Oh.
I didn't realize that, but apparently we did. So.
Oh gosh. It's like, yeah, you never know until you actually have it, and then yeah, you never know. Was that on your side or your wife's side or?
My ex-wife. Yeah. My older three boys are from my first marriage.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that only lasted about 5 years. So.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. Now my current wife, we've been together since 2013.
Is that right? Oh, wow.
Yeah. We've been married since 2016. So we're coming up on 8 years.
Oh my gosh. Well, congrats.
Yeah. 8 years married, 11 years together. So.
Oh, wow. Man. Well, that's exciting stuff. Gosh. I mean, you got your hands full, like just everything happening. I mean, we got a pretty full house right now, you know? And, I mean, we haven't really, we've announced it to a couple people, but we are expecting as well. We're going to have a little bit fuller house, but, so it's, man, life is crazy, you know, just with kids occupy a lot of time, and they just, but wouldn't change it for the world ever.
Oh, so. No. I mean, I tell the boys all the time, I go, nah, you guys weren't the mistake. It was your mom. And then she told them too, like, nah, we should have divorced a lot faster than we did. And I mean, we get along now. I mean, I get along great with her husband. He and I get along great. We even do Father's Day together.
But oh, wow.
I think part of that's to piss her off.
Which oh, my gosh.
I mean, I don't mind. he's a good stepdad to the boys. And I mean, and then my wife and I, we struggled with a lot of issues on the whole child thing, and turned out our blood, we finally found out from a doctor that our blood types basically attack each other. So we could have been pregnant several times and never have even known.
What does that even, what's that mean? Blood types attack each other.
So my wife is O negative, you know, so she's got gold as the blood donation people love to say. She's got liquid gold. Yeah.
My dad's got that.
Yeah. I'm AB positive.
Oh, okay.
And they do not mesh well when it comes to that kind of thing.
Is that right?
If the baby ends up with my blood type or even just a positive blood type, an O negative blood type, the white blood cells attack it.
Oh, really?
So when we found that out, it made us both feel better that there wasn't something wrong. You know, it's not that we couldn't get pregnant. We just couldn't get with each other on that end of things for that reason.
And really? Then this
you're fine. Go ahead.
No. I was just saying, yeah, really. I had no idea that like that was even a thing. Like the blood types could even do that. You know, I did not know that at all.
Oh, that was, and that's something we found out last year.
Really?
Find this. Yeah, we've gone to doctors before, and they're always, I don't know, they're always like, it's weight, it's diabetes, it's this, it's that, it's everything but what it actually was. Like, they run tests. They were like, well, we can charge you and run these tests, but we guarantee this is the problem.
Yeah.
Right. You can't guarantee that's the problem if you want to run tests. And so we went to another doctor because in my current job I have, the benefits are so much better that it covers so much more stuff that we went and got the testing done because it was covered. And when we got that news, we're like, well, now we don't feel so crappy.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It was like a giant like boulder was lifting off your shoulders. I mean, I went through a lot of changes. It was as it is. I knew part of the problem was my weight. I'd gotten up to almost 600 pounds.
Is that right?
Yeah, I'm down to 220 now, and then I'm getting ready to have excess skin surgery next month. So I'll be another 20 to 30 pounds off my body on top of it all. So I'm gonna be less than what I weighed in high school.
Is that right? So I how did you lose all that? How did you do
well, that? Like, at first it was one of those things where a lot of it was mental. I was going through a lot of depression stuff, and I couldn't describe it. Like I couldn't tell my wife what the problem was, because it was just one of those things where it's like we try to talk about it, and it's like a therapist isn't going to help this because I really can't explain it. Mm-hmm. And so I went to the doctor, and we found out I had a chemical imbalance, and it wasn't like major, but it was just enough to throw me into a slight depression. And so I got on some meds, and it really helped. It started putting me in the right spot, in the right mood. It didn't like put me as a downer or anything. Like, it just kind of got me to focus a little bit more on myself. And so I started just walking every day. I already walked. Like, people didn't know I was up to that weight, just because I've always done manual labor all my life. So everybody else was just assuming I was like 450 because I walked. A lot of 600 pound people don't get up, get on a forklift, and get off and pick up half a pallet of product and move it around by hand. Like, they don't do that. It's not a normal thing for a 600 pound person.
Man.
But I also had the mentality like my dad has, and it's just, you got to get a paycheck. You got mouths to feed. You don't get to sit at home and cry about it.
Oh, wow. And I remember you're like, you all had like the business, right? Or you had like a family business. Is that right? Or
no, my dad's just worked for GrassPad since he was 13 years old.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I knew it was that. So he worked there. Gotcha. Okay. Did you work there?
Everybody thinks that we're part of the family, because the owners literally, like, we've been to the owners' houses. Like, we basically are part of the family, but that's just because my dad's been there forever.
Okay, because, yeah, for some reason, I always just thought it was, like, kind of like your old thing. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, basically, I'm never without a job. If I ever lost a job, I could literally walk into a grass pad and just be like, I need to work. I wouldn't even have to fill out an application. They'd just be like, here's the tax form. Go get on that forklift. Have fun. Okay.
So you got up to that, but you were still active and you were still able to do stuff. And then, so
yeah, it was hard. I mean, it wasn't that it was easy. Like, it was hard being at that weight, doing that stuff. Like, it was incredibly hard. And then I just started working on myself. I started going on more walks. The wife and I went on more walks. I started lifting a little bit and just doing all that. And I dropped on my own almost 80 pounds. 60 to 80 pounds on my own. But the issue was, I kind of noticed my clothes size didn't change. Like, I should have dropped like at least 4 clothes sizes. Nothing was happening. So I went back to the doctor, and she, you know, did some measuring and stuff. And then she goes, okay, I need you to come back in a week. Just keep doing what you're doing. Come back in a week. Lost a few more pounds on my own. She redoes the measurements. She goes, you have not changed. I go, yeah. She goes, no, I measured your stomach. It's so stretched that no matter how much you lose, you're never going to drop in size. Or if you do, the fight is going to be incredible. That hunger is never going to go away. So I stretched my stomach so far that it was just, I wasn't going to lose the, I could lose the weight, but it would be such a battle to keep it off. So I went and got what's called a duodenal switch done in November of 2022.
Uh-huh.
It's where they take your stomach and they cut you down, literally cut your stomach down to 4 to 6 ounces and then get rid of the rest of the stomach.
Oh my God.
And then they still do a bypass, like a normal bypass on top of it all from, I don't remember, large intestine to smaller, small to large, whatever that bypass is. It's like two things in one.
Uh-huh.
And so I've lost a total of 370 pounds.
Wow.
Since then.
And just, is it because like just mainly just like changing your diet as well, or in just like, are you just like not as hungry and, or how's that?
Well, I mean, my problem was never like what I ate. Cause I mean, you know, I went to culinary school. I still did all those things. Like I said, I was going to do, I just never finished.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, so like I've always been like, I'm the cook in the household. Like I've always done things from scratch. I always controlled how much sugar and salt and things. Like I always controlled all that. We, you know, it's like we do eat processed foods, just not very often. Like fast food is just a rarity in our house. We don't do a lot of fast food. I cut the fast food down and things like that. And so like the diet was not hard. The diet I had already done. My problem was if I ate like a spinach salad, everybody else would have a normal spinach salad. I would have my version of a serving of a spinach salad was like the equivalent of 8 people's serving of a spinach salad.
Really?
My problem was excess.
I think I know what you mean. Yeah, like even like for like that I noticed like I always try to eat healthy, and I thought like if I even eat healthy stuff and but I eat a lot of it, it's still calories, even though how healthy it is.
Yeah. I kind of learned just from doing it in restaurants and working with like, you know, some family members that were military that kept their, you know, there were strict workout routines and stuff like that. And some friends from back in the day that it's, you want to eat the healthy foods, but don't deny yourself the fun stuff. Cause the problem is you'll revert. Like one of the things I did was I'm a chip addict. I am not going to lie. I love chips. Like I love chips.
Oh, me too, man.
But what I learned was what I started doing when I was still big and hadn't done the surgery yet was my wife and I would go get and I wouldn't recommend doing it now because they're more expensive than the bag of chips, but we would get the boxes of the individual bag of chips. And I was allowed to have one at lunch, or I was allowed, like, I didn't deny myself those things. I just controlled when and how much I had.
Okay.
So it was kind of things like that. And like now it's like we would buy the big bag of chips because it is cheaper, but then we'd portion them out in Ziploc bags. So it was always one of those things where it's not just what you eat. Sometimes it's how much you eat.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Cause I know, I mean, like if you do deny yourself like sweets and all that kind of stuff, I mean, if you do it in moderation and like at a level that you know you can handle and just, otherwise you're just going to be craving it. You know, it's like, you gotta like almost satisfy that crave. Otherwise it's just going to kind of just keep being on your mind, and you might then binge and overeat and all that kind of stuff. If you don't like have those moments where you do have it, you know, just in the way that, you know, that's going to work for you.
Oh yeah. It's like, it's always okay to find alternatives for stuff too. Like, I'll throw chickpeas in the air fryer and then season them up, and that's great. Mm-hmm. I know it's not a chip though, but sometimes it's just like, I just want a protein snack, and a chickpea is a better version of a protein snack than a potato chip most of the time.
Is that what makes hummus or chickpea? Yes, or is yes.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I worked at a fine dining Greek restaurant. I know. Yeah.
So that's cool. So did you take culinary like classes and stuff like that? Or how did you learn all that stuff?
Well, first I left for half a day from high school, the VOTEC, because I went to the Northland Career Center there half a day.
Oh, really?
The culinary program over there.
Like, did you do that during high school?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Man, I wish I would have done something like that. I mean, just
I had a lot more motivation than a lot of you guys did. I remember I hated where we were. I was dying to get out. I was ready to leave. So I just, when I saw that opportunity, I took right onto it.
Did you do any other classes like the VOTEC besides that, or was that the main one you did?
That's, well, you were gone for you're gone for half a day when you were over there doing that. So you didn't really have time for anything else at the VOTEC. Cause the biggest other big thing I filled my time up with at back when we were all in school was the writing class, the English and writing classes. So like I did a lot of that.
Oh, wow. Oh, nice.
Yeah, because I mean, I played soccer. I did that. I started working in restaurants the second I was 16, but that was just because I knew what I wanted at the time. And that was one of those things where it's like, okay, I got to get in. I got to get my foot in the door somehow. And I started off as a dishwasher and a couple different restaurants. I worked at least two restaurant jobs at a time because scheduling, you didn't get to work like, you know, we all had friends that went and worked, you know, landscaping jobs and things like that. They were guaranteed 3 to 4 shifts a week. And I'm sitting here in a restaurant job going, well, if it ain't busy, you're getting sent home. You got to have something to supplement that. So you're working 2 to 3 restaurant jobs at a time.
Uh-huh.
Because when you're a low guy on the totem pole, you get sent home first. So, but I worked everything from buffet restaurants to, you know, little diners to fine dining. I mean, like the only thing I haven't checked off on my list is working overseas, New York and Vegas when it comes to the big money makers for that industry. Those are the only three things I never checked off my list.
Would you have liked to though? Would you have wanted to do that if you could?
Vegas, I would have. Definitely Europe, I would have wanted to. New York, I think New York, I just wanted it at the time because that's what everybody told you you would want. But as I got closer to it and I saw what it took to be in New York, it wasn't the work that would have been the problem. It would have been surviving. Like, okay, I'm at work. I'll be able to have a meal. I'll be able to do my job and da 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 da. But the second you left work, it's like, okay, I cannot afford a refrigerator box that costs $25,000 a week.
Yeah.
Like, there's no
It's like, yeah, the pricing of everything, just like the standard of living, is just crazy. And I've heard in New York, I've actually never even myself been to New York. Have you been to New York before?
I will be going to New York towards the second to last week of June for the first time.
Oh, really?
So that'll be my first time going to New York. I've had some really close friends go and like send me pictures and, one of my best friends, he was stationed in New York State. And so they would once in a while drive to New York. Him and his roommates would go to New York City. And he was like, yeah. So we went down this one street and we were going to go to Gordon Ramsay's Irish Pub. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Like he's on the phone with me going, we're going there. And then you outside with the pricing. It was $55 for fish and chips for 2 pieces of fish and fries. And I'm like, okay. And he goes, I went across the street to the Irish bar where the Irish mob hangs out. And it was $13 for fish and chips. And you got 4 pieces of fish and like a pound of chips. And I'm like, yeah, I wasn't. He goes, it was the best fish and chips I ever had in my life. I'm like, okay. So I understand costs now in New York is crazy. He goes, yeah. He goes, it's insane.
Oh my gosh. And that was that a while back or was that recent? Like, was that like a.
That was 2016.
I mean, but that was probably before like crazy inflation. Like, and that was, so I mean, I can't even imagine what it is now.
That was before inflation. I don't even, I'm going to find out what it's like when I get out there.
Well, man, you'll be able to tell me if New York is a real place or not. Cause I've never been. So I was like, I'm sure it is a real place, but it's like, it just seems like until you actually go to somewhere, it's like, it almost doesn't seem real. Like I always just see it on TV and everything, but like, I've always actually wanted to go to New York personally. I've always wanted to go there. And so I'm excited for you.
Yeah, that's definitely been something on my bucket list to at least visit, because my wife's been, and she always talked about it and whatnot, and she always makes fun of me. She's been making fun of me going, well, you can't go to Red Bank, and I'm like, Jersey? And she goes, yeah, you know it's in Red Bank, Jersey, right? And I go, oh, yeah, Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash comic book store, Kevin Smith's comic book store. Yeah, no, that's, I looked it up already. It's like a 2-hour train ride.
Oh my man, that's so cool that you like that. Like you like comic book stuff and everything like that. So have you always been into that? Like, or I just,
oh yeah. Oh yeah. I used to go to Comic-Con here in Kansas City back when it was still in Kansas, before really? I moved to Bartle Hall. Oh yeah. When it was still at the Overland Park Convention Center and a couple little hotels before that, like I was going to, my best friends like to call me the Vans Warped Tour vet before the Vans Warped Tour stopped going, nationwide. Is only California now.
Uh-huh.
That big punk rock concert that's like 50 bands and all that stuff. It was an all-day event. I used to go to that every year. My dad would drop me off, ride around with cousins or whatever, and then until I could drive. God, I spent a lot of time in record shops downtown before all those closed up and these new ones opened up. I'm talking like the ones where it was wall-to-wall records. Like when you pull one record out, 50 come flying at your head. And then the old comic book stores and stuff like that. Like, I spent a lot of time doing all that.
Are you a collector? Like, or have you tried to like collect any, or are you mainly just like get it for just...
My wife is very big on me putting my collection back together, and she's been a very big help to that, even though she's not a comic book nerd by any means. She's been honest to God, I wish I'd met her earlier in my life. I swear to God, I wish I had. But glad that I met her when I did. But she's been, because when the twins were born, I had a comic book collection that was worth about $10,000
at that time.
Which now would be about probably closer to $100,000.
Wow. But
I had to sell all that off so we could get an apartment and a car. And I sold all that off. I didn't collect for a long time. I didn't go to all the stuff. There was a lot of stuff I didn't do because I worked. I literally worked when my boys were born. I worked 7 days a week, 2 to 3 jobs at a time. And I mean, every free minute I had them boys in my arms. Like they've asked me, you know, with the way I'm with my daughter now, I always got her in my arms. I'm always taking her place. They're like, is that how you were with us? And I go, every free minute I had, this is exactly how I was with you boys.
Oh man.
I knew I was missing stuff. So when I was home, I wasn't missing nothing.
So yeah. You can't get those moments back.
No, so I'm very grateful. My wife was like, nope, you get 6 months of full paid paternity leave with your job. You're taking every second of it. Do not, you're taking every second of it. And I'm like, all right. So I filed and I am off until mid-October.
That's insane. Like that's an amazing benefits that you get. That's just crazy insane to me, man. Like I'd never even heard of something like that.
But no, it's because we're based out of Europe. So we've got a lot of those perks.
Wow.
Because I work for Ticketmaster.
Oh my gosh. Cool. That's really cool.
Yeah. I always told myself when we were all younger, I was like, I'm either going into music or I'm going into food. And I used to play music with Timmy and Tommy Berryman all the time.
Really?
We used to get them. We never went anywhere because them two couldn't keep from trying to kill each other half the time.
Is that right?
But, and I played with a few other bands, and there was one, we were good. We were actually really good. And we got to a point where we were about to start recording, and I'd gotten all excited about it. And then our drummer slept with the singer's girlfriend. And well, that ended things.
So that just dissolved it all. Or like, are they still going?
Well, physically they were molded pretty well together with the blood and sweat and
oh gosh,
words and several things. For a minute, we were like, well, maybe they'll hug it out when they're done. Yeah, no, that didn't happen at all.
Oh my gosh.
That was like the one band where it's like, maybe this will go somewhere. Never mind. Just get rid of that thought. That ain't gonna happen. So.
So I did want to ask, like, so since you're into comics and all that kind of stuff, were you ever into any of that, like those magic cards and everything like that, like that type of stuff, or have you even heard of that kind of stuff? Like,
oh, I have. So that's hilarious that you mentioned that. So I've reconnected with Gabe Cantu a little bit here and there.
Uh huh.
From back in the day, and I didn't know he was huge into D&D. I had no idea. And my kids are actually big into D&D. Like, my boys are actually big into it.
Cool.
And so, I've seen
the newest movie.
Love the movie. My wife loved the movie. She's not even into Dungeons and Dragons. She goes, "Well, this was fun." And I'm like, "Oh, there you go. This imagine that as like seven people just sitting around a table telling you that." And she's just like, "No." Well, I tried. He goes, "No, I like this version better." And I'm like, "Okay, you enjoy that version. At least you enjoy it. Well, I'll take it." But
yeah,
I never had time for it when we were growing up. Like, it wasn't that I didn't know about it, not that I didn't want to do it. I played soccer year round.
Were you a goalie?
Yes, I was a goalie and a sweeper. I played baseball until I was 16.
Uh-huh.
Because I played with Brian Lister a lot of the times. We kind of backed each other up. We were both catchers and first basemen, and we were both the pull hitters on our team whenever we were together on teams.
Uh-huh.
And I played basketball up until high school, and that was ruined by coaches.
Oh, I know what you mean about that. Yeah, coaches can turn you off of a sport, you know, depending on how they kind of treat you and all that. And then they might be doing it for good intentions, but you never know.
Well, and what I regretted was our senior year, because that's when Coach Hodge, right? Was that who came in?
I do remember that name.
I think it was Coach Hodge that came in our senior year. And Jeremy Saul, because I was always running around with him too.
Uh-huh.
He and I were just messing around on the basketball court, and Jeremy had the most wicked three-point shot I'd ever seen in my life. I mean, even under pressure. Oh, even under pressure, the man could hit it. and I ran the paint. Like, I taught Zach Bushman how to play post. I had to teach him how to play post, because basketball was the other big sport I was really into for the longest time until high school, when I got turned off by the coaches.
Uh-huh.
But Hodge came out to me one day, because he was on whatever that specials class we had to take that was like study hall or whatever to graduate. I forgot what it was called.
Uh-huh.
Because he was the teacher I had for that, because I remember that now. He came to Jeremy and I and goes, we're coming up on districts. I need you guys. And I had such a bad taste in my mouth that I said no. And I look back on it going, you know, maybe I shouldn't have said no. Maybe I should have said yes.
Like, you wish you kind of had regret that you didn't like stick with it, or?
I just wish I would have told him yes when he came to us our senior year asking me to play right at districts.
Oh, like, okay.
Yeah, that's when he came to us, because I never played on the court until then. Like, it was just like 2-3 weeks before district basketball. I was just like, he and I just decided, because the balls were out there, we just started shooting around. We were just fooling around. We were even being serious. And he's coming to us going, "Oh, you should, I really could use you guys." Da, 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 da. And we both were just ignorant, stupid teenagers, as I like to say. No. And I'm like, yeah, now I look back at it going, man, maybe I should have done that. Maybe I should have just said yes. I know it wouldn't have gone anywhere. It didn't need to go anywhere. It might have been fun. I had a blast. Maybe we would have done something.
That's true. It's like so many things in your life, you just like, you just quickly go over, and then like all you can remember is like, what if, you know? You never know, like, where could it have went, you know, the memories you could have made or something like that.
Yeah, and I try not to dwell now, because I mean, I got my boys, and nowadays I just always like, when they start rethinking something about like, maybe I don't want to go, just think about it for another 10 minutes. That's all I ask. Give yourself 10 more minutes, and if that's, you really good, don't want to do it, that's fine, but give yourself an extra 10 minutes to think about it.
Man, I know, like, there was a lot of things for me just back in the day, you know, that just really stuck with me, you know, and our sports and everything, that just, it was tough to move on, and just stuff you just carry with you into your life. And just wish things would have went differently, but. But yeah, you're like, there comes a time where you got to let go. You got to move on. You can't dwell on it and just move on with life and just look, take the good out of it and take the good out of it. And then also the things you could have, that you can learn from, you know, things that can make you a better person in whatever you're doing. That's the only way I can look at it.
Oh yeah. Cause I look back to you and think like, oh God, that probably that time, who knows what concert I went to that. Cause every night, once my homework was done, all of us were in a car going downtown Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were at a show. I think I got to go with Shane Sligo and I, because we went to shows almost every night of the week.
Uh-huh.
We went. We heard about a show, a punk show, at the bottom of this church.
Oh,
and we okay. Show up, and this is one of the craziest stories because he would even be able to confirm it too, because it was weird. I still have a hard time believing we actually did this. We go, we show up, we walk up into the church, because to get to where the show was, you had to go into the church, because it was the big, I want to say it was a Catholic church right behind the CVS downtown near Gillum.
Uh-huh.
And we go in. And we knew where we had to go, but we hadn't got there yet. And this guy in a suit stops us and he goes, "Hey, are you here for the wedding?" And we're like, "What wedding?" He goes, "Well, you're dressed appropriately. I'm wearing my Blink-182 t-shirt, my wristbands, my black pants with holes in them. I've got my hair, I think at that time was purple. I don't even remember. I had so many colors in my head."
Did you really?
Oh, at some point I had a rainbow in my head. I don't even remember how that happened, but it did. But we show up and the guy's like, "Yeah, no, the groom's got people, but the bride doesn't have anybody on her side." And we're like, "What the hell? Let's go." So we just said, "Yeah, let's go. We'll go sit on the bride's side. That's cool." And we go, and all of a sudden the groom comes down and he's in a sleeveless suit with just chucked up with tattoos, a mohawk. And I'm just like, "Did we seriously come into a punk rock wedding? Like, what the heck? What's going on?" Bride comes down. She's got blue hair, half her hair is blue, the other half is pink, and not like a neon pink, it was kind of like a darker pink, and she's in a white wedding dress, but she's tattoos, bright, like glittery makeup on, lipstick, and I mean, it was the coolest thing ever, and it was a beautiful ceremony. Like, it was, if it wasn't for the outfit, you would have never known it was a different kind of wedding. You really wouldn't know, because they both walked out to traditional music and whatnot. But then as soon as it was over with, like, "Everybody downstairs," and we go run. We all go downstairs, and it was this big punk show. Food. I mean, we had such a blast. Who says I would ever got to go to that wedding? And I wasn't even invited.
So, like, what were you there for? Like, why were you all there? Like, what were you expecting?
Shane and I showed up to actually just go to a punk rock show. We had just heard through the grapevine, because as many shows as we went to, you get to know bouncers. You get to know some of these managers. You get to know, because like I've worked Warped Tour for bands that were friends of mine. I've gotten to work their t-shirt stands at Vans Warped Tour. Like, you get to know these people when you're there all the time. And the guy that ran the El Torian, which is still up and I believe still does shows to this day, because I've driven by and I showed it to my wife and she goes, "That's where you hung out at all the time?" I go, "Yeah, I was there a lot." Like, to the point where we didn't get charged the cover fees to walk in the door. That's how often we were there. And they just told us, "Hey, you know, that one of the guys that open up for a lot of the bands here, you know, they're playing a show and they're a lot of fun guys. They weren't the greatest musicians, but they were a lot of fun. So we wanted to go support them." And that's how we ended up at the church. Uh-huh. We were just there to support some friends. Next thing you know, we're sitting on the bride's side of the church at this punk rock wedding, and we even realize, like, how did we get here? Who cares? We got fed, we got to dance with the bride and groom, we had a blast, it was so much fun. Like, when I told my parents,
"You are a wedding crasher
on total accident before that movie even existed, it happened." And it's
maybe
not even really
based on your life wedding.
Well, it's like, it's not even really crashing the wedding when you show up and they ask you, because you're just, "Oh, I'm sorry. No, this was a wedding. We'll just go ahead and go." And they're like, no. Well, it's not really crashing when they ask you to come and stay.
That's true. Yeah. They were just very nice about it.
Yeah, but it's like we used to go to shows like that all the time. Like we went to Lamb of God before they became that big popular death metal band they are now.
Oh, okay.
We show up. I'm dressed all in black. Jeremy's sunburnt and looks like a lobster in flip flops and a muscle T-shirt. Uh-huh. And Shane is in the preppiest outfit you'd ever find a person in. And we're amongst all these big, muscly, buff dudes, either wearing shirts or all black with black eyeliner, doing that screamo stuff. And what do? I grab Shane and throw him up on the stage. The preppiest looking guy in there looks like he does not belong. And I got him. I threw him up on the stage because it was like a 4 feet from the stage to floor. Like, it's not like it was a big place. It was a real tiny place. It was a lot of fun. And instead of freaking out, he just rock hands, screams, and jumps off for crowd surfing. And everybody accepted us. Like, I think that's why we went so much. It was accepting. Nobody cared what you looked like. Nobody cared who you were. Were you cool? Were you nice to everybody? Were you enjoying the moment? And that's all that mattered.
Man, that's awesome.
I think that's why we spent so much time down there. Even to this day, Jeremy's worked down in Westport for years and dragged me down there. And I worked down there with him for years as a bouncer.
Oh, so, and when you're saying Jeremy, you're saying Jeremy Saul, right? Okay.
Jeremy Saul.
Yeah. That's so cool. And that's you've led an interesting life. And I know I've had some events like that, but not as many. So that's pretty cool.
Oh yeah, I've done some very stupid things in life where I'm amazed I don't have any jail time or tickets, or I'm amazed I don't. Because I've done some stupid things that probably would have ended up with a few nights in jail just because that definitely was the wrong place. That was definitely the wrong time.
But by the grace of God, you know. So, well, that's, man, I don't think there's anyone that hasn't done dumb things. You know, we've all done things that we're not proud of, and you live and you learn.
Oh, yeah. I'm still waiting for my kids to screw up because I'm just going to do what my dad did. Be like, call. When you don't call me, that's when you get in trouble. You call me, we'll figure it out. You don't call me, well, can't help you.
Man. Well, Harlan, I'm so glad you joined on. You jumped on. This is awesome. So I hope we can do this more often, you know, and do stuff like this, you know, so.
Hey, I'm up for it. You can hit me up anytime. We can pre-set up something to talk about and kind of have a little structure to it if you want. I don't care. Okay. I'm game.
Well, that's awesome, dude. I will definitely do that. I'll reach out to you and we'll get everything set up and we'll do this more often and, man, just kind of figure out, you know, like ways that kind of work around your schedule and what you got going and everything like that. So, but that's awesome.
We'll definitely do that. Try to do some in-person stuff. That way we can have some more fun that way too. And
yeah, definitely. Well, man, I got your number and I will, we'll catch up offline and everything like that. And dude, I'm so happy you jumped on and I hope you hope everything keeps going well for you and everything. It sounds like a lot of things have happened in your life. Yeah, I know you got a lot of a story to tell, man. That's awesome. The little stuff that you shared with me tonight, man, that's just amazing. Like the stuff that you've went through and like kind of came out of. So that's awesome.
Yeah, man. Like I said, we'll get together. We'll have some fun. We'll just freestyle it, structure it, whatever you want to do. I'm game. And like I said, right now, I'm pretty footloose and fancy free right now. So,
well, cool, man. Well, thanks, dude. I'm going to probably get closing up shortly. But we'll touch base offline.
Sounds good, man.
All right. Well, have a good night, Harlan, man. I'll see you around.
You too, bud.
All right. See ya. All right, so I'm going to close it up right now. I hope everyone has an amazing day, and go Chiefs, Red Kingdom, baby. All right, so Have a wonderful day and a wonderful week, and I'll see you in the next one. I'm actually looking at the wrong thing. I'll see you in the next one. Peace.